Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. Undeterred by a Senate defeat on the Trans-Pacific Partnership fast-track bill, the Republican Party and White House strategized to send the trade bill authorization back to the House to start over. The House voted on a TPA bill without FAA, in other words, a fast-track bill without added assistance for U.S. workers. The vote was 218 to 208. Right-wing Representative Paul Ryan explained the vote in this way, quote, "This is a vote for American leadership. This is a vote to declare that America still has it. This is a vote to reestablish America's credibility. The world is watching." There has been widespread opposition among those in the U.S. public who actually know what the TPP is, as well as a good portion of the Democratic Party. But this hasn't meant much to the GOP and President Obama, who seemed determined to push through trade promotion authority at any cost. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi said last week that she doesn't see the worker assistance bill passing, even though House Speaker John Boehner moved to make it possible for there to be a separate vote until July 30th. My guest is Patrick Woodall, Research Director and Senior Policy Advocate for Food and Water Watch, Public Policy Analyst, and he is now joining me from Washington. Welcome to Uprising.
It's great to be here, Sonali. Thank you.
So let me get this straight. First, they tried to attach a pro-labor bill, TAA, to sweeten the fast-track bill for Democrats. Senate Democrats voted it down in order to kill the whole thing, but that backfired because now proponents of the bill are going to just try to get enough votes for fast-track without the measly bone that they were throwing towards U.S. workers?
Other way. That happened in the House. So the House, this is a long-standing kind of balance on trade policy. On one hand, they push pro-corporate trade deals, but they add a worker retraining program to help those who have lost their jobs because of trade. And that's what passed the Senate. When they sent it to the House didn't have the votes to pass both Fast Track and the worker assistance program together. So Speaker Boehner broke the bill in half, and the Fast Track provision narrowly passed, and the worker retraining provision went down to stunning defeat. And that meant that the package was stalled. And that left three kind of unattractive alternatives for Speaker Boehner. One, he could have a revote on the worker assistance stuff, but since he lost by 302 to 126, he did not see the prospects as good. Two, he could try and pass the Senate bill that included Fast Track and the worker assistance, but the Republicans are largely opposed to ensuring that workers have safeguards even when they lose their jobs because of the trade deals the Republicans push. And option three, which he took last week, was to pass a standalone Fast Track bill and then send the whole mess back to the Senate to start again. And this is what happened last week. And now, tomorrow, the Senate will take up a standalone fast-track bill, and possibly another measure that will include the worker assistance program. But essentially, the senators are being asked to take it on faith that the House will ever pass the worker retraining bill. And many Senate Democrats that supported fast-track in the past have trepidation about supporting a bill that they know, in the end, Boehner won't be able to deliver on. And the president, although he long said that he wanted to sign both Fast Track and worker retraining, he now says, well, whatever, I'll just sign the Fast Track bill and hopefully we'll deal with workers later. So it has a very uncertain future when it heads back to the Senate tomorrow.
Well, it's all very confusing, so I appreciate the clarification. What are the odds that the Senate, because of Democrats wanting, you know, presenting strong opposition, even though they're the minority party, what are the prospects that Democratic senators would vote for this standalone bill?
Well, 14 senators supported Fast Track before, and five Republican senators opposed it. Ultimately, the passage was pretty narrow. It was 63 votes, and to overcome a filibuster, they need 60 votes, and that vote will happen tomorrow. And so if three members change their votes, the whole package could go down. Ultimately, the key part is that not only does this vote not have the worker assistance program in it, which means it's a worse bill, but the House included a whole bunch of crazy policy riders to kind of lure more conservative Republicans into supporting Fast Track in the House. So there is a measure that says that no trade deal can ever address climate change, even though obviously international commerce has a huge impact on the climate, and a measure that says no trade deal can ever address immigration or include kind of cross-border worker movement. Now, those two measures were added as sweeteners to pull more right-wing Republicans to support Boehner's position, and ultimately they needed those votes because it was very narrow passage. But now when it goes back to the Senate, it has these kind of retrograde riders on it, and they also have weakened a number of provisions in the Senate bill that were added that are very, very valuable, including an amendment by Senator Menendez, which said that you couldn't use fast track to pass a trade deal with countries that didn't do enough to stop human trafficking, which is supported very widely in the Senate, but the House kind of secretly took a hatchet to it in another bill, which ultimately will affect this fast track bill. And they eliminated a provision by Senator Schumer that would address currency manipulation. They watered that measure down as well. So what the senators are going to see tomorrow is a significantly worse fast track bill than they supported in May. And the question is whether the 14 Democrats that supported fast track before are going to walk the plank on worker assistance and take a leap of faith that Speaker Boehner will be able to close the deal on worker assistance down the road. And they're also going to have to support a fast track that is considerably worse than the one they supported just last month.
Wow. So activists who have been lobbying against fast track, progressive activists, several of whom we've been speaking to on this program, now face a bill that's much worse. Was that something that you didn't expect? I mean, are we at a place where even activism seems to have backfired? And are they relying on public ignorance overall?
Well, I think, to the contrary, that the public activism and mobilization on this has been essential to gum up the works and to make it harder for the Congress to rubber stamp a secret trade deal and the fast track to accelerate its consideration. Really, the people power has made the huge difference. Ultimately, the fast track has been really gummed up in the House of Representatives, and Speaker Boehner can't control his caucus, and the Democrats are more united than ever that they won't accept a lousy trade deal that will kill jobs, destroy the environment, weaken consumer and public health protections. So I think the activism has been fundamental to raising awareness amongst constituents, but also amongst the Congress itself. Remember, this is a trade deal that is backed not by a single sector of the business world, but by the entirety of the big business, Wall Street, pharmaceutical lobby. So the pressure for this from the fat cats in Washington, the Republican leadership in the White House, is intense. But despite this really mega lobby pushing this, the people power has managed to really stave off some of the worst things that have been moved in the Congress all year. And even today, there's no clear path forward to victory. The Senate is going to be forced to consider a considerably worse fast-track deal, and there is every reason to suspect that many skeptical senators that reluctantly supported fast-track in May will reluctantly oppose it tomorrow, and that will be sufficient to derail this again. And that really works in our favor.
Now, apparently one reason why there's such a move to push this forward as fast as possible is for the TPP to be a done deal before the next presidential elections in 2016, because there's, of course, a fear that whoever occupies the White House may not be as strong a proponent of the TPP as President Obama. Is that accurate?
Well, generally, these trade deals are a bipartisan love-in in the White House. I mean, we're talking about a trade model that has been pushed by George Herbert Walker Bush, Bill Clinton, and George Bush, and President Obama. So we haven't seen a skeptical trade policy president in more than 25 years since this kind of corporate trade agenda took over the U.S. corporate diplomacy. So I think whoever comes in next is going to be receptive to pushing a TPP-type deal. The question is whether the negotiations will break down because this president doesn't get fast-tracked. Remember, nobody that is critical of these trade deals is opposed to international commerce. The question is whether the terms of the trade deals are set only by the businesses that serve to benefit, or whether they benefit workers, the environment, consumer protection. The trade deals that are being pushed now put commerce above all other interests. So if those kind of commercial interests run afoul of food safety or environmental protection or workplace safety, that the agenda that's being pushed now would allow these corporate interests to trump on the public interest. And it's past time for us to have a new way forwards, and that's what Democratic Leader Pelosi said on the floor when she opposed this current round of corporate trade agenda.
Right. It is an absolutely secretive deal, and even after it does become agreed to, if that ever happens, the actual text is not released for something like 4 years, which is just, you know, makes you wonder what they're trying to hide. Patrick, I want to thank you so much for explaining this confusing mess to us, and we'll certainly follow what happens tomorrow. Thanks so much.
Excellent. Thanks for...
Patrick Woodall is a research director and senior policy advocate for Food and Water Watch. He's a public policy analyst, researcher, and advocate on economic justice issues in Washington, and he co-authored a book on the World Trade Organization. This is Uprising. And when we come back, we'll take a look at what has been happening in the Dominican Republic with planned mass deportations. After that, Melina Abdullah of Black Lives Matter joins us to talk about ongoing issues with the Charleston shooting last week, as well as a retreat that happened over the weekend that brought together a number of activists. Stay tuned.